Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you lived in Jesus' day, what would you fear? What would you have anxiety over? If you think of the New Testament, if you've, many of you have read it and heard in church, what are the things that they would fear? Maybe even add in some of the Old Testament fears too. I think the first one that comes to mind for me is famine. There's famine in the Old Testament. They ran out of food, the weather, whatever God punishing Israel or punishing the land for bad things, wicked things done, sent famine at times. I'd fear that in their day, running out of food. I love food. Not to have it? Oh no. That's one fear, one anxiety. What, do we run out of food next week? I don't know. Another thing, I suppose, is oppressive rulers. The Romans, their crucifixions. If you get on the wrong side of a Roman soldier or some leader, or Herod or Pilate or whomever, you could end up on the cross, right? If you tried to start something that you shouldn't have started, etc. Oppression from bad rulers. Another, I suppose, would be leprosy. We hear in the New Testament a lot about leprosy, a lot of different lepers. Even the Old Testament, Naaman and King, King Amaziah, I think he had leprosy. So, you know, different fears of disease, I suppose. And finally, a calamity. We hear about the Tower of Siloam falling. I think, was it 300 people perished all at once? Or a capsized boat we hear about in the book of Acts. That could be someone's doom in New Testament days. Now compare that to our day. What do we fear? Maybe not so much famine, I suppose, because we have world trade, so if we had a famine here, we could get food somewhere else, right? Just trade something for it. But overall, for the entire globe, we think globally, we think about what? Climate change and how that could affect things. Not necessarily the causes, the political debates there, but just the fact that there is climate change. And, you know, there's droughts in California. There's droughts in different places that sometimes affects crops, bananas, and everything else we worry about. We're a little anxious. Oh, I don't want to lose my bananas. I don't want to lose this or that. So that's one source of minor anxiety, perhaps. Oppressive world leaders, that causes us all a bit of anxiety. You know, what is North Korea doing sending those rockets up in the air? Why? Or the trade and the economy. What is China going to do if they want to call in their loans, etc.? Domestic terrorism, biggie, right? It used to be international terrorism we'd worry about, but now we're more worried about domestic terror. El Paso, Dayton, this past week. Oh, my. Is it safe to go to Walmart? Right? Places where people gather. Civil instability. What happens if we get just so far down the drain that people don't even trust each other as a nation anymore? We might worry about that, have a little anxiety as things are getting worse. We watch the news every day. Or maybe health. Maybe it's our own health. Diseases that are coming. Diseases that have been. Are they going to return? Or paying for it? How do we pay for it? My medicines. How do we pay for the health care that we might not have? Or earthquakes, hurricane season, etc. So we get anxious about all these things. Which period of time, Jesus' day or our day, is worse for fear and anxiety? I don't know, we'd have to ask some sociologist to come and do a study or somehow and tell us which is worse. Maybe we just perceive that things are worse because we have the internet and social media and televised news. So there's really no big thing. I'm not a sociologist. I can't give you the answer to that question. I'm a pastor. What can I tell you today? Not the reasons or the causes or why there's more anxiety or fear now than then. One thing we can marvel at, and I can tell you as a pastor, is Jesus' response to fear and anxiety to people in his day, and because of his Spirit working in the Word, working for us today, he's answering our fears and anxieties too by the marvel of his Spirit in the Word. Does Jesus respond to fear and anxiety saying, "What? You think that's bad? You should fear the coming plague next week." Does he respond to fear and anxieties by saying, "There's more fear and more anxiety to come, more reasons to be afraid"? Or you should fear the devil's angels. No, you should fear the harvest angels of God. Is that how he responds to fear and anxiety? Or maybe he's got political solutions. He's got a new and better health care plan that'll just fix everything. He's got a plan to overthrow the oppressive Roman government, right? A more fair tax distribution plan. That'll be so much better. A plan to send somebody to walk on another planet and rehabit a different planet. That'll make things better. Is that what he promises? Is that what he says will really help? No, of course, not that, not any of these things. Jesus responds with what? Words. Words of wisdom. Words of comparing things in life, real things in life, and comparing their value to our value. Knowing that if God exists and he knows all things and he created the world, as we heard in the epistle today, by his word, how does he value you in comparison to other little minor things in the world? Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you eat, or your body, what you put on. For life is more than food, and your body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens. How they neither put things in the storehouses or barns, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than birds? Jesus asks. Or consider the lilies of the field, how they don't toil and spin for themselves, and yet God clothes them with more glory than Solomon in all his arrayed glory. And Solomon had a lot of money and clothes, right? And yet beautiful lilies of a field, I mean, that can just outmarvel Solomon. And God does that himself through nature, by his word. And if God does that for the lilies, which are just lilies, and talks about grass, which is glorious today and then is thrown in the oven, how much more are you more valuable than lilies or grass? And of course, he asked that really annoying question. How many of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Makes you stop and think, doesn't it? How much help is anxiety for you? For the nations, he says, seek after all these things, food and clothing. And God knows that you need them. But you seek first what? His kingdom. And all these things will be added to you. Furthermore, and that begs new questions, how do I get this kingdom? What do I have to do to be in God's good favor, to be in his kingdom? Everything in this world can be bought. What do I have to pay to get into that kingdom? How much do I have to pray? How much do I have to give at the temple? How many times a day do I have to bow and scrape? How do I get this God off my back so I get into his kingdom? Jesus responds to that with words. He douses the fire with his words, saying, fear not, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's like Chick-fil-A on steroids. It's his good pleasure. Not just pleasure. It's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't pray your way in. You can't do anything really other than to believe, like Abraham did, the promise of God, and Noah with reverent fear towards him, that God will give you all things through faith in him who gives you a promise, even this promise. Fear not, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. The kingdom of God. This is how God graciously bestows his Son. It's in the kingdom of God because he's given us a king. A king we can trust, a king we can know, who comes to earth to be with us as king. The humble, lowly king who dies for you on the cross, who rises again from a tomb in which the Son of Man lay for you. This is your king. This is your treasure. He who provided for his son life again after death, will he not array you with even similar glory? Have you not been baptized into his death? Have you not been united with him in a resurrection like his? This is your king. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And does every good king not provide for his kingdom? His kingdom of priests? His royal priesthood, that's you. He provides for you. What do you have to fear? What do we have to be anxious about? So what becomes of our fear and anxiety? What of it? When you know that nothing in this life, neither angels nor demons, nor their height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. What becomes of our anxiety then? When you know that nothing, not even death itself, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you afraid that God won't provide? Are you afraid that God doesn't have good pleasure to give you the kingdom? Then look to Christ. Look to his word. Look to his deeds. Look at his resurrection. There's the answer. If you weren't sure, don't look here. Do I really believe? Look to him and what he's done. A friend lays down his life for his friends. A good friend does that. And that's who our king is. The king is our friend. Therefore, Jesus tells us to live. Not anxiously, not with fear, not with greed, but with faith, and of course with generosity. That's why he said, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Don't you think God will provide for you? Sell them. For who of you can add a single hour to his life by worry and anxiety? Might as well fill your time doing something that is Father-like, and that is providing for others. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Should it not be your good pleasure to give generously to those who have needs? To provide like our Father has provided for us, even though we can't match his greater provisions. Provide for yourselves, Jesus says, money bags that neither run out or don't grow old, he says. How? Through good investments, of course, right? Our rental properties, right? No. With a treasure in the heavens that does not fade or fail, where no thief or no moth can come up and destroy. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Instead of putting your heart into worry and anxiety, invest in faith in Jesus. Invest in faith of the Father and the Spirit. For it is God's good pleasure to give, not to take. Hallelujah. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. In Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.